AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
I don't crack easy under pressure.
When you listen to us, what we say here
matters.
Tweet me at P.O.B. Pat O'Brien. It's like pinching that grizzly. I made that up. What does that mean?
All right, so we put the over under on
total. What's the metaphor?
What's that?
Waking up a
sleeping giant.
Sleeping giant.
Yeah, well.
Be patient and tough. One day this pain will be useful to you.
Strong it out, Vic. Petros and Money Game 570 Boom. LA Sports live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We got another 2 hours. First two were special, Vic. It's a rough start. It's a rocky start to the Petros and Money Show. Our opening 20 minutes with Vic the Brick Jacobs.
Some rapids to get through, but then the smooth waters of the James Worthy interview.
Right.
No, we got him. We got him, though, live
we got
on
him
the set.
For a cool 5 minutes.
Spectrum Sportsnet LA. The Lakers are, I think, up one now.
Lauren saved us. She brought us free spices.
Lauren from Chef Benito was wonderful. They've done a great thing with the Dream Center, and we appreciate that. And who can forget Rick Neuheisel and Sweet James Bergener joining the show in the very last hour. So we've had a good time. We're going to have some college foosball talk as the show goes
foosball.
On in the very next segment. We'll get to more rivalry week talk, and we're going to be on all the way till 7. Now, tomorrow is a double flex alert.
Double up.
Tomorrow and Friday, we start the show at 2 and go to 4.
Both days.
Clippers on the road.
2 to 4, Clippers East Coast swing. So today, full 4 hours, going to UCLA basketball. That means pregame at 7, tip off at 7:30. Tomorrow, 2 to 4 to Clippers pregame with Adam Oslin, tip off at 5. Same thing on Friday, and of course, Saturday, Crosstown Showdown, UCLA versus USC here on AM 570, kickoff at 1, pregame at 10:30. Rick Neuheisel joined us earlier, Sweet James, in the very last segment.
All great stuff.
All great stuff that can be podcasted through the iHeartRadio app.
Don't we have something to give away here, Tim?
Yeah, we got 2 pairs of tickets.
To what?
Chargers Steelers COVID Bowl!
Do it right now! Go to the COVID Bowl and French kiss Matt Smith. Give us a call at 800.
I got the magic blow.
866-987-2570. 866-987-2570. Caller number 5 is going to see the Steelers Chargers on Sunday night, 5 o'clock, 5:20 kick or whatever. So enjoy that. But now it's time for the top story of the day.
Top story of the day.
Brought to you by HMS Capital. Check your interest rates. You could be saving thousands or tens of thousands of dollars based on how large your mortgage and what your interest rate is. Mark Tice of HMS Capital wants to earn your business at 833-255-5698. No surprise in your top story of the day. I'm going to do a 180 on what we talked about yesterday.
You
with
are?
Our football teams. I am. Because it comes from an interview that I taped this morning for the Chargers Weekly podcast with Rodney Harrison. And it
of
had
NBC Sports?
Of NBC Sports. He'll be on the broadcast. He'll be at SoFi on the field Sunday night for Chargers Steelers. And it had nothing to do with him saying the Chargers were great or the Rams were great or the Raiders are great. As a matter of fact, he said,
what if I'm a listener and I haven't podcasted your segment from yesterday?
It's not even posted yet. So this is a little sneak peek into one of the little nuggets that he had talked about.
No. What if I'm a listener and I haven't podcasted your hot takes from yesterday?
Oh, well.
And now you're going to say
yesterday I said kicking the balls, humiliation. What are these football teams doing to their fan bases? The Chiefs are in first place. They were a hot grease fire earlier in the season.
But just to say that you're going to do a 180, maybe now I'm not going to revisit that. I mean,
it's possible. But if you want the context, it'll be right there for you through the iHeartRadio app. But what he brought up when we asked about his back-to-back Super Bowl championships, his all-pro performances, and how an organization can become the model of consistency like the Patriots became, he did not hesitate. He said, head coach, 100% head coach, sets the tone, dictates terms, hires coordinators that you believe in, that you want to play hard for, you come to work every day, you want to practice hard, you want to lift and get aggressive, and you believe they are going to put you in a position to succeed. If you don't have that belief, then a lot of times you don't have that commitment. And if you have a head coach that has that ability, then that's the most important thing on a path to success and sustained success. And certainly Bill Belichick has proved that, as Rodney Harrison was there on the front end.
I'd like to see a couple more years of Belichick to prove it.
Yeah. And that's what stood out to me. Now, it's a different, they are two, I would say, different lanes when you're talking about Brandon Staley and Sean McVay. Brandon Staley is still unproven. He's just a single game over 500. He has coached 9 games in his head coaching career, but very good defensive coordinator last year for the Rams, very good position coach for the Bears and the Broncos, elite defenses at both of those stops working under Vic Fangio. And it seems as though other coaches and players that we talk to from around the league, be they players under him when he was their coordinator or position coach or current players on the Chargers, seem to believe in him.
He's very popular with our show.
No doubt about it. You don't need a resume for Sean McVay. We know plenty well enough about how good of a coach he is, how good his teams are. He's been to a Super Bowl. The team is in contention for the division every single year. He has made the playoffs all but one season since he was hired in 2017. So kind of according to what Rodney was talking about, I think both teams have that going in their favor. As for the Raiders, don't know. I mean, they have so many extenuating circumstances. Team president quits. Another front office guy gets fired. John Gruden gets fired. Yes. Horrible situation surrounding Henry Ruggs. They have got a lot going on, and you have a special teams coach who has been elevated to head coach in Rich Bisaccia, who by all accounts sounds like the players really like him a lot.
They said he is the greatest leader of men since George Patton.
So
that's what they said when they hired him, and I have a tendency to believe him.
So whether or not Brandon Staley and Bisaccia, who are just getting things started, can do it, don't know, but you'd like to believe in Sean McVay. The other thing...
Well, the Raiders will probably end up with a different coach, right?
Most definitely.
Unless Bisaccia gets it going or
and
something.
A lot of that can come down to what's that lawsuit look like?
How much do they want to pay him? Yeah.
Because if you're on the hook for a full $10 million a year to John Gruden, that is going to be awfully hard.
And you might be. I mean, Jimmy Lake got his whole buyout.
Yeah, I mean, it is totally possible. And if that's the case, then I would not be surprised to see them have the lowest salaried head coach in the NFL, because you're paying a guy $10 million not to coach your team, the highest number of any coach in the NFL. So it's possible that he sticks around, especially, look, if in fact he is the greatest leader of men since George Patton and they do end up making the playoffs, then maybe there is a case for them to give him a short-term, maybe 2-3 years, low-salary deal moving forward. But again, these coaches have coordinators. Do they take more responsibility from some of the guys under them that have not experienced maybe the amount of success that we would have liked to see so far? Raheem Morris inheriting the number one ranked defense across the board from Brandon Staley and the Rams, and they're getting pushed around pretty good in a handful of these games. And same with Joe Lombardi, who comes from New Orleans and that Sean Payton school of offense, and whether or not Brandon Staley is going to get a little bit more invested on the offensive side of things, where things have really kind of gone wrong more so than on the defensive side, rush numbers notwithstanding, because that seems to have gotten fixed these last couple weeks. Offensively, they have really struggled on this 1-3 stretch over these 4 games.
They look horrible.
And that's what good head coaches do, is they will then invest themselves a little bit more in the units that are struggling in order to right that ship. The other thing that kind of jumps out is when you look at the NFL playoffs historically, and that can be recent history, or if you just want to keep going back 10 years, whatever, in the annals, what do you typically see if you go to the championship game level? You will see the best quarterbacks in the league and the best rosters in the league. And we say, oh, these games are always one-score games. They're decided by razor-thin margins because everybody's good. But you typically have really good quarterbacks. And when you look at all three of these teams and the way their quarterbacks are playing this year, at one point this season, Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford, and Justin Herbert were each mentioned by the national media as being, yeah, the way he's throwing the ball, you might be talking about an MVP favorite out there throwing for the Chargers. You know, Derek Carr, he's not pushing the ball downfield, and it's hard to ignore the stats. He is in the conversation for the MVP, and of course,
so you're saying the quarterbacks might save the people in the...
It just looks like these teams have everything that you would want a team to have in order to punch their ticket into the playoffs. That this current streak of futility, notwithstanding, for the Raiders, for the Chargers, and for the Rams, could be exactly that. Just the short stretch where a team gets sideways. It happened to the Bucs last year with Tom Brady, where he threw, like, I think, five interceptions in a three-game span, and they lost two of those games.
Hard-pressed to find an NFL season or anybody's college football season, even if you end up undefeated in the college world, that doesn't have lulls in it.
Exactly. So, as everyone's freaking out, specifically in the AFC West.
They are flirting, you know. I mean,
they missed an opportunity.
Austin Eckler said it the other day. We're right on the fence as a team, and we can go one way or the other, and I think that that can be said for all three of the teams. Now, all three of them probably aren't going to have the success that they want to have this year, the Raiders, the Rams, and the Chargers, but somebody's going to come up in November and December, and somebody's going to fall off.
And the other good news is the NFL has achieved peak what we want in the NFL this season, and that is complete and total parity. Just when you think a team is going to pull away, they get humiliated by the Washington football team. Just when you say Matthew Stafford has some of the greatest metrics we have seen by a quarterback through seven games in a season.
Goes in the tank for a month.
In the tank. Into the tank. Just when Justin Herbert is putting together, my God, you thought his rookie campaign was amazing. Have you seen what he's done through five games in his rookie season? Just when it happens, they get dragged back to reality. And that's happened to every team. No matter who is atop the NFC or the AFC, they do not look like a juggernaut that cannot be toppled like the Chiefs of the last 3 years. In the AFC, you have the Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills, who lost a game to Jacksonville a week ago, that are at the top. The Titans lost to the Jets, for God's sakes, earlier this season. So
don't be so down. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Like yesterday, we were all upset and ball stomping.
Well, you were.
I mean, I was. And today, I'm here to say, you know, my eyes have been opened.
I take it all in stride.
My eyes have been opened. Overreaction. Overreaction Tuesday has turned into mellow out Wednesday. Now, what that will be tomorrow on Three Things Thursday,
who's
I don't know.
Say?
Who's to say? Who am I going to talk to? Who might wind me up and have me thinking what Austin Eckler
Well, if Rodney
like
Harrison tells you everything's going to be all right, then, you know, you have a tendency to feel like everything's going to
be all right.
Unless you're Trent Green, and then you feel like, you know what? I can't trust that guy. I can't trust him to not...
That was a dirty play.
...cripple me for life.
That was a dirty play.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
Dirty guy, dirty player, and a dirty play.
You know what? I'd trust you on that one, Rodney, but I remember what you did to Trent Green. Trent Green's a close personal friend of mine.
He provides scintillating, polarizing analysis.
Hey, look, man.
In the booth.
It's like the Chargers are right there. The microcosm of the season and the game. In the fourth quarter, you're right there. You're going to win it, or you're going to let it ride.
And you could be there to see it all.
Yeah, so far.
Sunday night, 5:20 p.m., Chargers, Steelers. We just gave away two pair of tickets.
Did we?
I don't know. Did we, Cates? I don't know if we asked for calls. I know we said we were going to. Did we give them away yet?
Gave them away.
All right. They've already been given away.
I feel like I'm talking back to myself.
Me too. Bob Schmidt's really, really wearing us out right now.
You know what? I'm going to put in a help ticket.
Yeah.
How come somebody's not going to put in a help ticket?
That's a great call. We got to put a help
ticket. Let's put a help ticket in. We don't have to live like this.
I'm tired of hearing about Fritzy and Paulie. All right? I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it anymore. Tired of hearing.
You hear it, Kate?
I'm tired of hearing about. Of course, it goes away whenever
Kate plugs
it.
No, no. It's there.
There it is.
It's there. You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
You're in the wrong port.
You're a dumb person, and you've always been dumb.
Yeah. I think you just said, Doug Gottlieb's going gangsta.
Yeah. Bob's studio's bleeding into ours, and no one else can hear it but us, and it's driving Matt and I slowly insane. like a Hitchcock movie.
Are you having trouble staying up at night? Well, listen to these hot takes from Jason Smith.
Ben Maller.
It's in our ear the whole time we're talking.
We'll be back with more PMS. I feel better, Matt. I feel better about the plight of all the pro football teams in town. It seemed like everybody got kicked in the nuts, and now it's all good.
Our nuts are stable.
That was a good nut stabilizer.
Your nuts are safe. For now. Tomorrow, kick in the groin. Who knows?
We can't guarantee what's going to happen. We only react. College football talk next.
The punches, so I survive. So try to rock, cause it keeps the crowd alive. I'm not bowling, I'm just calling. But I'm past the days of yes, y'all-ing.
Petros and Money.
PMS.
With LA Sports. Now.
Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We got football all weekend on your football station of record, playing all the games today on the station, AM 570, LA Sports. We got UCLA, USC, Crosstown Showdown, Rivalry Week. Kickoff at 1, which means your countdown to kickoff starts at 10:30 with Tim Cates. And then Sunday Night Football, prime time, Chargers, Steelers, kickoff at 5 p.m. on our sister station, Alt 98.7, and we keep saying it as a reminder, we're going an hour early tomorrow, just a two-hour show tomorrow and Friday, 2 o'clock, the Flex Alert, thanks to Clippers basketball in Memphis.
But now it's time to talk some USC and UCLA football. There is a rivalry week need.
Foosball.
And we will address it.
Foosball.
We are flexed out tomorrow, only 2 hours.
Foosball.
And then another flexed out show the next day, Friday.
Foosball.
Only 2 hours. And that is for Clippers basketball. So, as the 2021 college football season winds down, it is sad, no doubt, that there's no longer very much interest in USC football in particular. The Trojans athletic department is to blame and for shame for the team's downfall. For the public fatigue that has followed. As I've been saying all season, USC's mighty struggle is mostly due to over a decade of incompetent leadership from the athletic director and the head coach. And that has been held by a few different people that we have discussed over and over again. And all I can say, Matt, as we all cringe to think how many people are going to be in the Coliseum on Saturday, is for shame.
For shame!
As a USC alum and former team captain, my main hope each year is that the players as a whole have a quality experience, that they have their talent developed, and their dreams of playing pro football can be realized. But is that happening at USC right now?
Not much.
I mean, if the players get developed, wouldn't that mean dudes are improving, playing to their potential, taking accountability, winning games, creating a positive experience amongst each other? And that's been the root of the problem. Men who were not qualified to be athletic directors kept hiring or expanding contracts or looking the other way as men who weren't qualified to be head coaches were dragging down their program. So, as USC welcomes UCLA for the Crosstown Showdown this Saturday, something we used to be able to book, appointment listening, calendar, advent-like anticipation, rivalry week.
We do a full week, two a day. Two a day we would do for rivalry week.
I'm going to make the proclamation, Matt. Trojan football is at rock bottom. And I'm not talking about the place right off Pine Avenue, an ocean that everybody can party in downtown Long Beach. I'm talking about rock bottom like you don't want to be there.
We got one of those in Garden Grove, too. They're good. Nice live music. Good bar food.
UCLA is emerging as we talk about the Bruins from the darkest period of football in their history. Other than, you know, Red Sanders dying.
What happened?
Heart trouble.
Is that right? Acute? Or was it long developing?
They call one of those Widowmaker heart attacks.
Oh, yeah?
And I believe he said, his last words were, football's a hell of a game. You ought to come out and see a game sometime.
And then?
That was it. Those were his last words. He died. He had his shirt off.
Well, they got her very excited.
Well, she
like, looked, wow, I'm going to be able to come see a football game.
His shirt was off because he had been hot, which is understandable because of heart trouble. But now UCLA is emerging after Red Sanders' death.
CD Hotel.
In Hollywood. The crazy fact that I've often shared on TV and radio is the last six NFL drafts gone by, UCLA program in despair during those 6 years, they've had exactly the same number of players drafted as USC.
Man, wow, man, freaked out!
From 2016 to 2021 in the NFL draft, the Trojans and Bruins have both had 24 players drafted by the NFL. That means with lesser talent and a lesser record.
What?
Yeah. UCLA teams under Jim Mora and Chip Kelly have been able to develop talent better than USC under Kiffin, Sark, and Clay Helton.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is shocking when you think about, you know, UCLA just this last non-conference season getting a non-conference victory for the first time in the Chip Kelly era.
There was a time when USC was celebrated as the school that put the most players.
Number one feeder school.
Into the NFL. There was a time.
They're dropping.
There was a time.
To me, it's sad that quality players have been coming to USC because that's not the case with a lot of other places. I mean, they're coming to USC and they're not getting developed to the NFL's collective satisfaction.
That's pretty sad commentary on us.
Yes, it is. And sure, the USC kids themselves bear their own level of responsibility for not developing. You look down at your puzzo and you say, why is it crooked? But where's the motivation? Where's the drive? Where's the leadership? Where's the inspiration to get better? It's not in some NIL deal with American Eagle. I'll tell you that, Slovis. Where are the quality coaches on the USC staff?
He is the human embodiment of American Eagle, though.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, if American Eagle were a human, it would be Slovis.
I could just see the guy. Yes. That's our guy.
Right there.
Bingo.
Cable knit sweater. Bing, bang, boom.
And the Zaxby's guy. I don't care if JT lost his job or not. He's a Zaxby's man. USC comes into this UCLA game with a 4-5 record. They have rarely met the physical challenge this season, Double Dare style. Stanford, Oregon State, and Utah have come to the Coliseum and kicked USC's ass by hanging over 40 points and winning by double digits. Right now at 6-4, the Bruins are not yet guaranteed of a winning or losing record. And UCLA is favored by 3 points in this game.
Mm. 3-point favorite in the Coliseum.
And Jackson Dart is going to start.
Jackson Dart is going to start?
Yeah.
They're going to start Jackson Dart?
From the heart, I believe is what they said. I expect UCLA to provide the physical challenge. And the Trojans, they will not take the physical challenge.
Are they going to turn it down?
They're going to turn it down.
You tell me they're going to turn it down.
It's going to be the moment of truth.
Wow.
It was the moment of truth, and you turn it down. The Bruins' 1-2 punch of Zach Charbonnet and Britt Brown are both powerful guys capable of breaking off big runs and making you turn it down. I will have my official prediction for this game and share a little more USC-UCLA football history, and we'll tell you some of the players who are not developing at USC. Boy, do we love Rivalry Week.
Mm. It's really sizzling this year, isn't it?
Yeah, we got a good thing going, Matt. Not really.
We had a good thing going. You know, peaks and valleys. We all experience them.
It's been a long time.
Well, it's only been, technically, including this game, five coaches. And
what I mean when I say rock bottom is that USC's not only killed the national interest that people have in them, but they've killed their own fan base's interest.
Sure.
And that is what's shocking, because a lot of those people are just showing up to hang out with the people they went to college with anyway, and now they're not showing up.
Well, they don't want to be seen there.
It's alarming.
They don't want to be seen.
It's alarming if you're a USC person. However, as we've seen with UCLA basketball and Mick Cronin, there is a need for these sleeping giants to awaken and get the town excited.
You just need a fuse. It's a powder keg. It wants to explode. You just need a fuse and a match.
You know how we light the fuse? Fifth quarter.
Right? Fifth quarter.
Full court press.
Isn't this great?
Instagram Live.
Look at this.
We'll be back with a secret Textoso rodeo roundup on PMS on AM570 LA Sport.
Petros and Money. Available on the free iHeartRadio app. Now.
Petros and Money, AM570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. A big thank you to Rick Neuheisel, James Worthy, Sweet James Bergener, all joined us earlier. Still ahead, one more hour, a full four-hour show before we go to UCLA pregame at 7, and then UCLA North Florida tip at Pauley Pavilion at 7:30 here on your home of the Bruins, AM570 LA Sports. Minor sports stories coming up in about 20 or 30 minutes. And David Vasse on Max Scherzer losing out on the Cy Young and his day with Mookie Betts will be in the very next segment.
All right, but brought to you by your Chevrolet Silverado, the best-selling full-size pickup in all of California. It is the Secret Textoso Line.
Textoso Line.
Sold out to Chevy.
That's right, sold out to Chevy. And the Secret Textoso Line is basically my telephone. And we had the story a little bit earlier about Micah Pittman from Calabasas transferring from Oregon. He's a wide receiver, and they don't throw the ball that much. And we had an option today to either talk to Jim Mora, former UCLA coach, now at UConn, or Ricky New.
Excuse me?
Yeah, or Rick Neuheisel.
Excuse me?
And I thought it would be better to go with Ricky New.
Excuse me?
Matt, just because, you know.
Excuse me?
Our relationship with Coach.
Well, who knows? You never knew what you were going to get.
No, you're right.
You know, sometimes it was great.
But if you think, like, where do you want to go to where you can do multiple things on the field, I would say Micah Pittman would probably want to maybe head to UConn, because they run all of those crazy formations, right?
We could have asked Coach about that. Are you going to carry that same offense with all those formations?
I mean, you might want
to UConn that you were running.
I know
UCLA.
The Pittmans are from here, and there might be listening. So you might want to look into Jim Mora and the UConn Huskies because of all those crazy formations that they run. And I would say the same for Keaton Slovis when he leaves USC after the Cal game in December and enters the transfer portal.
UConn.
Let's go.
Excuse me?
USC West.
Stores. Let's go.
Just when I thought the show was doomed to fail, you do the interview with Lauren from Chef Marito and totally redeem yourself. That's right. And Chef Marito's doing a lot of good, Matt.
They are. They're giving away 500 Thanksgiving meals to those in need through our Dream Center LA season of giving. They have turkey spice for a limited time only. They have the Cornish hen spice.
That's a big one. Colette is huge advocate.
That's her cause. Colette's cause, Cornish hen spice.
Some
from
people,
Chef Benito.
They're into the environment.
Right?
Not others, Colette. Prison reform. Colette, Cornish game hen spices from Chef Benito.
No brainer.
I agree.
If she hadn't taken it already, and if Colette hadn't claimed it, it would have been my cause.
So yeah. Jim Mora, water in Africa.
Right?
Colette, Cornish game hen spices from Chef Benito. Vic reminds me of my grandfather, completely pulling sports takes out of his ass. Unlike you and Matt, I just nod and say, "No way, Grandpa." You guys should cut Vic some slack.
We try. And then he comes on and lies to us.
Yeah, that was, you know.
And says blowout city for North Florida, only to find out through the text also that
he was
you are
calling
reading
it
off
a
of
trap
right
game.
Now.
He was calling it a trap game all yesterday during the updates. Just to spite us and to make us look stupid because we can't control the updates.
And he thought he was going to sneak it through. He thought he was. Thought he was going to squeeze it in.
Yeah, like croquet.
Nope, nothing gets by us.
Hell no. That VTB vibe is rubbing off on money now. Watch out, P. You're next. The PMS show's downfall is starting. I hope I'm wrong.
I did look at the Michigan football program instead of the basketball program and tried to push back that Seton Hall hadn't gotten a win over them.
It's an ugly moment early in the show.
It sure was. Made a fool of me.
Well, I mean, I think...
A complete fool of me.
Yesterday,
we
talked about two bastard makers, Matt. Christian Horner from Red Bull Racing.
Bastards all over the place.
And his wife, Jerry Halloway. Well, also the Spice Girl. Just two bastards between the two of them, and then they joined it together. But they are bastard makers. And this guy texted this. Revelation! It's not the bastard's fault. It's the BM. The bastard makers. Well, yeah.
Of course.
That's always implied here, sir.
We're never taking the shot at the bastard. We're always taking a shot at the bastard maker.
It might feel like we are. We're not. We would never.
Never.
Ever.
Bastard.
P, you guys could sue Vic like you talked to Sweet James about, but you know Stoney would just make the lawsuit disappear. God damn.
Well done.
All right. There's your secret Textoso line brought to you by Chevrolet, the best-selling full-size pickup in all of California. Find new roads with the great Chevrolet Silverado. Coming up next, another hour of great sports talk. We've got the final hour fun fact. We've got David Vassay joining us with the latest on Mookie Betts, Scherzer, and Corey Seager. We have some minor sports stories, Dead and Alive guy, all headed to the UCLA North Florida trap game.